Hi, this is Lindy, the creator and host of Lindy's Audio Cafe, a podcast focused on positive and thought-provoking stories. Life gets busy, and in the race for happiness, we sometimes forget it's often the smaller things in life that truly matter. My podcast is focused on the stories that don't make tabloids, the basics that make you smile, the kindness of people who help make the world a better place. Yeah, we need a bit more of that. But before we get started, please be sure to hit subscribe on your podcast app so you don't miss future episodes. Thanks for listening. Hi, everyone. It's Lindy here, and I'm delighted to be back in the podcast chair today. It's a little bit rainy outside here on beautiful Vancouver Island, so seems like a good idea for me to stay inside, get caught up on a few projects, and maybe grab a microphone, do a podcast today. Oh, it's also International Women's Day 2024 today, so today really is a great day in so many ways, and I'm going to speak from the heart today on what I love about being a woman in 2024 and maybe talk a little bit about, you know, how things were for women throughout the generations. Let's do a little bit of a look backwards, look at where we've come today, and look at how we can move forward. That's always a good thing to do. Look at how you can move forward. All right, Generation X. That's me. Yeah, I'm in the age group that follows the baby boomers. Yeah, the ones who were born in the days of ringer washers, party line telephones, mums with curlers and moo-moos. Ooh, those moo-moos. Yeah, and no seat belts in the car. When I was growing up, we never called our parents' friends by their first names. Oh gosh, no, that would have been so disrespectful. We could only call someone's mom by her first name if she extended that invitation to us. Yeah, Mrs. Wood was always Mrs. Wood to me. Mrs. H, well, the first time we met her, she was Mrs. H, but then she insisted we call her Barb, so that was different. I grew up in the 1970s. Oh, yeah, baby. Psychedelic artwork, orange shag carpets. Yeah, that was the rage. Groovy, funky, far out, cool were the sayings back in our day. I recall discussions amongst friends as to whose mother went to work, whose mother stayed home. In those days, some people frowned upon women who returned to work, and they felt it was a woman's duty to stay home, raise her children, have dinner on the table when the husband arrived through the door, and oh, she was expected to have a tidy house, hair neatly done, the children bathed, cleaned up, ready to greet their father when he came in the door. Good thing I wasn't that generation. I don't think it would have worked for me. Was it easier for women, though, or was it more pressure? I can't speak for everyone, because I'm not everyone, but I've got my own theories. I think where you lived, your financial background, your marriage partner, and your own family dynamics played a huge role on whether it was a normal workday life balance for you or was it pressure. I know many women who were leaders in their industries back in the 70s, and they were happy in their roles and they earned respect. I also know many women who had to fight hard to earn respect, and they didn't always get the same opportunities as men. I always vote. Whether or not I'm fond of who's running, I'll vote. I'll do so because I recognize I have the democratic right to let my voice be heard. I often think about the Famous Five. If you're not familiar with the Famous Five, well, then you should be. In 1927, five women launched a legal challenge that would mark a turning point for equality rights for women right here in Canada. Yeah, you see, in those days, the British North America Act, we also call it the BNA Act of 1867, it set out powers and responsibilities for the provinces and the federal government. But sadly, when they referred to one person, the word he was often used, and it really meant that only a man could be a person. Yuck, good grief, talk about archaic. Well, these five women asked the Supreme Court of Canada if the word personal in Section 24 of the British North America Act included female persons. And after 5 weeks of debate, the Supreme Court decided the word person did not include women. Ah, that just gives me shivers, you know, just even thinking about it. So kudos to these five women who didn't give up. They took their case to the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council of the Great Britain in London, and it was the highest court of appeal for Canada at that time. It was on October 18, 1929, when the Chancellor of Great Britain made an announcement that the word person should include all females. I read online that he said the exclusion of women from all public offices is a relic of days more barbarous than ours. Damned rights it was barbaric. I mean, seriously, because you're born with different physical attributes and parts doesn't make anyone more human than the other. Yeah, grateful for Lord Sankey making that ruling. And here we are, and 97 years later, I give thanks to people like Emily Murphy, Nellie McClung, Louise McKinney, Irene Parlby, and Henrietta Mary Edwards. Life began to change for women in Canada because of their efforts. Notice I say began to change, because here we are 97 years later, and although things are so much better, we still have a way to go. We still have struggles in different environments. Okay, so I promise today isn't a big history lesson, but I did think it might be kind of fun to look back at how things have evolved and changed in Canada. I went on to the Public Service Alliance of Canada website, and they've got a great list of notable events in history. I'll share a little overview of some of the things I read online here today. Do you know, back in 1900, teaching was the only career open to women in Canada that led to a pension. So yeah, you had to be a teacher or no pension. By 1901, women made up 13.4% of the total paid labor force, and they were legally required to resign upon marriage. Wow, what kind of ridiculous rule was that? Okay, so yeah, go fall in love and go broke, or fall in love, get married, and be dependent. But that put men and women in a very vulnerable position. Yeah, men too. Because now the pressure was on them to be the main breadwinner, when in fact it might have been easier if both could have earned an income. It also left women dependent on men, and that could be a huge issue, especially in the case of domestic violence. In 1904, there was a bunch of male unionists who led a strike to force employers to fire women. That irks me. That's terrible. 1912, for the first time, a woman is hired as a professor at a Canadian university. All right, seeing a little progression. 1916, Emily Murphy became the first woman judge in Canada. That's good. 1918, Canadian women won the right to vote in federal elections, but it didn't include Aboriginal and Asian women. Wow, like that is so awful. So as much as they were making headway, it was headway but with further discrimination. So not cool. 1925, the Federal Divorce Act was modified to entitle women and men to divorce for the same reasons. Prior to that, women had to prove bestiality on the part of their husbands. Good luck with that. Yeesh. So, you know, it went on, and I could go on forever here. I mean, during the Depression in 1931, women who were protected by legislated minimum wages were replaced by boys, and most females were not eligible for any social assistance. Yeah, take away their jobs, replace them, and then don't give them any assistance. That's pretty crappy. By 1931, women made up 19.9% of the workforce. Well, that's the paid workforce. They weren't sitting around on their butts, that's for sure. A lot of changes continued throughout the years. By 1955, restrictions on married women holding federal civil services jobs were finally abolished. Yeah, that's something that really happened. And I look back on that and I think, wow, that was a little late for my mom, who proudly wore an Air Force uniform until she said the words, "I do." It wasn't until 1960 that Aboriginal women won the right to vote in federal elections without having to abandon their Indian status. Okay, so 2 years before I was born, women were finally entitled to open a bank account without obtaining their husband's signature. I can't imagine that. I mean, prior to that time, an abusive husband could control all the funds and prevent a woman from leaving. It was 1969 when the head of the family is removed from the Quebec Civil Code. That reminds me of a time when a surveyor called my house one time. This is quite a number of years ago, and they asked for the head of the house. Like, head of the house? Who asks for that? So I gave the dog's name and told them to call back. A few weeks later, my daughter picks up the phone, and the voice on the other end is asking for George. Well, George was also the name of my poodle at that time. And my daughter's sitting there with the phone in her ear. Her jaw's just dropped. She's going, "George, George, hey, Mom, someone wants to talk to George." I laughed so hard. And I took the phone and said he wasn't available. "You ask me for head of the house, I'll give you the dog's name." Too funny. Oh, yeah. Anyway, back in the 1970s, a lot of things changed. And by 1977, the Canadian Human Rights Act was passed. It prohibited discrimination on the basis of sex and ensured equal pay for equal value. That's the wording of their time. On the basis of sex, ensuring equal pay for equal value. In 1978, airline flight attendants gained the right to work after marriage, and even after they reached the age of 32. Wow. Okay, I was flight attending on the old Douglas DC-3s and DC-4 in the Yukon back in the late 1980s, and that's just over 10 years after that rule was changed. Wow, I guess I'm a little bit older than I realized. Well, the 1980s saw so many changes, and again, I apologize if I can't read them all today. I know we only have so much time, but I really like this one. In 1989, Audrey McLaughlin, a member of Parliament for the Yukon, was the first woman elected as a party leader of a federal party here in Canada. I remember Audrey. I didn't know her personally, but I was living in the Yukon at the time, and many women were so grateful for her presence and her advocacy. The 90s, well, yeah, they saw a lot of changes. By 1995, women made up almost half of the labor force. Oh yes, and I was one of them. I went back to work when my daughter was 5 months old. In 1997, the federal government launched a third initiative to end family violence. And by 1999, the Federal Court of Appeal validated the equity rights of 200,000 public sector workers and their union, the PSAT. So that's just part of history, and I found a lot of this information on the Public Service Alliance of Canada website online. It was a pretty neat website, had a lot of history on there, so that's where I got this information from. You know, and I remember when a family member, this is going back a long way, she got a bit of a check for equal pay for equal value, and what happened was it was determined that the place she'd worked at had paid men higher wages than women in the same job. And another family member at the same time, he was a male, was just up in arms over it. I recall us being at a family dinner, and the one family member announced how happy she was this recognition had taken place and that the wrong was being made right. The male family member went on a rant about what a waste this is, and these people agreed to work for that wage, and why are we giving them more money? And it was a tense moment at the table, and I knew he could never understand the challenges she faced because he would have been in the higher paid position just because he was a man. I still remember that conversation, and I was young at the time and didn't get involved, but I listened and deep down inside was grateful her union had won recognition for a group of healthcare workers who deserved to be treated fairly. I'm an older woman. I'm not old, but hey, I'm no spring chicken. Seen a lot of changes for women over the years. I remember Helen Reddy's recording of "I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar." That song always stands out for me. And there came a time when women were making their voices heard, and I can hear the echo of men saying, "Oh God, she's another one of those burn your bras kind of chicks." Well, if she was, good on her. Good for her for doing that. Women can drive big rigs. Women can drive bobcats. Women can build houses, fly airplanes, fix automobiles, and yes, women can also stay at home and look after children. All roles matter, each and every one of them. It's okay to go to work every day, and it's okay to stay home with children. It's about choice and options and equal opportunity. There are a lot of women who've influenced me over the years or simply played a role in who I am today. Okay, in fairness, lots of men have also, but there are a lot of good people in this world of all genders, but today I'm talking about women. As a woman, I don't like to men bash. I don't agree with it. We get upset when men women bash and we say, hey, that's sexist. And I think it's so important that as much as women have fought for equality, it doesn't give us a ticket to treat men poorly. We're all in this world together, and kindness and equality have to go both ways. Yes, I love it when a man opens the door for me. But guess what? I'll also open that door for a man. It's just being kind and polite. My heart goes out to all the women around the world who are not provided with the same rights we have today. My hope is that someday everyone will recognize that women are people and deserve the same rights as men. If I could wave a magic wand, all women would be able to go to school, obtain education, receive fair pay in the workplace, and be able to have a fair chance at promotions in their jobs. I'd wave that wand again so women who choose to stay home are still valued the same way as women who choose to go to work. I recall a time many, many years ago, it was quite a few years ago when a hazing ritual started in my hometown. It was pretty sickening, actually. There was a group of grade 12 girls that were inviting the grade 11 girls to graduation hen parties. Part of the passage of rites was to get hit on the backside with a paddle. Seriously, I was so disgusted when I heard of this. It wasn't just a little tap on the backside for some. It was honestly hurting and bruises, and none of that was right. None of it. I recall another mom speaking up and saying, "What the hell? We fought for generations for peace and to not have women being abused, and now these girls are hitting each other." I was so pleased when young women I knew stopped going to the hen parties because of the hazing ritual. They stood up for what was right and decided to not be part of it. I don't know if that thing still happens anymore. I heard it kind of fizzled out, and I sure hope it did, because, you know, as women, we fought so hard for rights over the years. Our women before us, generations before us, fought for us. It's so important that we be respectful and treat each other kindly, because that's what they were fighting for. Women have fought hard for our rights and dignity over the years, and the best way we can show our appreciation is to continue to work for those rights, but to do so in a way that's kind to women, kind to men, and kind to everyone around us. We can be inclusive, we can say no to violence, and we can stand up for what we believe in. As I wrap up my podcast today, I want to end with a quick shout out to some amazing women. To my sisters, thank you for your strength and advocacy for supporting other women. To my mom, who's no longer with us, I give so much thanks for the lessons taught by a single mom who raised 4 kids on her own in the 70s. She did it with grace and with love. To my cousins from all over, thank you for being the kind women you are. I'm so proud to say we're related. And of course, there's my daughter, who's an amazing role model for her daughter. And she makes me so proud of the next generation. Thank you to all of my women friends, the ladies who help support me, who support others around them. You all are amazing women, and I'm just so glad to have you a part of my life here. Congratulations to all the women out there. Remember that this is a day to acknowledge the trailblazers who worked so hard to make life better for us. I know I'm grateful. Oh, and on a final note here, if you enjoyed the podcast today, can you please share the episode on your social media page so other people can enjoy it as well? I have a Facebook group for Lindy's Audio Cafe podcast, and positive comments are always welcome. There's a little link to buy me a coffee in the show notes, and it's not expected at all, but, you know, it's always appreciated. Might even pay it forward at the drive-thru. All right, that's it. It is time to wrap it up. Have a great week, everyone. And remember what I always say as you head out? Smiles come in all languages and in all colors. Take care, everyone. Happy International Women's Day. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to click like and share it so others can enjoy it also. Join the Lindy's Audio Cafe podcast group for updates. Oh, and positive reviews are always welcome as well. Check the show notes for updated links. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.